This is 365 Honest Questions About the Bible. I'm your long-suffering host, Dante Stack, and today we're talking about the Apocrypha, because I've just recently completed a book entitled Fun with the Apocrypha, a merry excursion through the quote-unquote extra books of the Bible. So in today's episode, we're just going to promo the book a little bit. I'm going to tell you why I wrote this book, kind of my approach, and a little history as to what the Apocrypha is. All right, here we go. So the process for me started about a month into my stay in Russia. So for almost a year prior to moving to Russia, every day during my lunch break at work, I would sit down and study Russian. I was convinced I was going to become fluent in the Russian language and be great at it. Well, I get to Russia and I teach English all day long, and the days are a lot longer than I expected they would be, and I get home and I just don't want to study Russian. So naturally, I want to do something else. That turned into, I should read all the books that aren't in the Bible. The New Testament, Old Testament rejects, yes, the Apocrypha, the Pseudepigrapha, the Gnostic Gospels, the fake Gospels, all that stuff. I should go down and read through them all. So I start that process, and I'm making notes about interesting things as I'm going along. And then I think, you know what, I should turn this into a podcast. Or maybe even add new episodes of 365 as something like 365 Honest Questions Stroll Through the Non-Biblical Books of the Ancient World, or something like that. So I made plans, I even recorded one episode on Tobit, which is an apocryphal book. And I did all this because for me to learn, if I really want to learn new information or ingest new information, I have to do something creative with it. I have to work with it in my mind and in my hands. So it just made sense to turn it into a podcast. Like I said, I recorded the one episode on Tobit, and I kept thinking to myself, as I'm reading other books of the Apocrypha or other Old Testament Jewish literature, that's going to inform what I think about Tobit, and that's going to inform all the other books. They're going to play off each other. So it didn't feel right to do like a podcast one after the other, because there were already things from the other books that I was starting to pick up that I wanted to impute back into that first episode I did about Tobit. So doing an ongoing podcast week by week didn't really seem to be the right medium. It didn't make sense. So that's how I transitioned and told myself, all right, I'm going to write a book. Never written a book before, or at least never published a book before. I'm going to do it, and I can just take my time as I'm here in Russia, and however long it takes, it'll be however long it takes, and it'll just be my fun hobby. So that's what I began to do, and my initial intent was to do the Apocrypha, the Pseudepigrapha, the Gnostic Gospels, all of this in one book, and I quickly figured out that if I wanted to do that, it was going to be a magnum opus over 1,000 pages, and that just wasn't going to fly. Especially since I came to the idea that, you know, I want to do an approachable user's manual or approachable Cliff Notes version of these books. My selling point for Fun with the Apocrypha is I've read it, so you don't have to. I give you the gist of it, I inform you without you having to kind of slog through a lot of the boring stuff. And it doesn't make sense to call something, the initial name was Fun with Heresy. It doesn't make sense to call something Fun with if it's over 1,000 pages. That just ain't gonna fly. So at that point, I decided, all right, we'll just do the apocryphal books, and then later I'll move on and do other books. And that still might be the case. More on that later. But yeah, let's start by talking about what is the Apocrypha. Now, the word Apocrypha is very general and doesn't by its nature mean a particular set of books. When I use the word Apocrypha, I'm referring to what is probably more correctly called the deuterocanonical books of the Bible, or the deuterocanon. These are the books that the Catholic versions of the Bible include often at the end of their text as like extra books. You know, that's more or less what the word deutero means, or secondary. So, to make a distinction here, there's a lot of Jewish writings that are not in the Catholic Apocrypha, and we call those usually pseudepigrapha, or pseudepigraphal writings. and because they don't appear anywhere. The Catholic Apocrypha is a specific set of books that does appear in Catholic versions of the Bible, also most, I believe, Orthodox versions of the Bible, but does not appear anywhere in the Protestant versions of the Bible. So, first question, right, is, okay, so how can you have books that are in some Bibles but not others? All right, so easiest answer as to why Protestants don't include it is, look, it's not in the Hebrew Bible. Judaism, the Jewish people, don't include the apocryphal books in their writings. So why should we? Simple as that. The reason as to why one should include it really does muddy the waters. So when the New Testament authors are quoting the Old Testament, because the New Testament is written all in Greek, of course, and the Old Testament is mostly written in Hebrew, the New Testament quotes have to be in Greek, and they are quoting using a translation called the Septuagint. The Septuagint is supposedly 70 Jewish scholars that somewhere between 200 and 100 BCE took all the Old Testament books and translated them from Hebrew and Aramaic into Greek. So when we read Jesus' words, quoting Deuteronomy, for instance, we're reading a quote of this Septuagint translation. So in many ways, right, this is validation of the work of those translators, since they are super important because everyone's quoting them in the New Testament. The Old Testament is quoted quite a bit in the New Testament. Makes sense. And that's always from the Septuagint. So it seems like the Septuagint words are, I don't necessarily want to say sacred, but are highly esteemed. Now, what makes that interesting is the Septuagint translators, the writers of the Septuagint, included these books that we call the Apocrypha, or the Catholic Apocrypha, the Deuterocanon. They included those books in their translations. So that's where, I think, the Catholic community has, you know, an interesting point to make when they say, we can include this in our Bible, because the Septuagint did. So, what are the books about? So they're all books generally considered to be written in the intertestamental period, you know, so after the Old Testament, but before the New Testament, although the dating for them is highly debated pretty much with every single book here. And there's three genres that they're written in. There's what I just call stories, adventure stories. Tobit, which I'd already mentioned, is chief among them. Then there's wisdom books, very akin to what we see in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And then lastly, we have history. That is just 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which tells the story of the Maccabean Revolt. One is kind of a big picture overview of the whole revolt. That's 1st Maccabees. And then 2nd Maccabees is a zoomed in look at just one brief stage of the overall revolt. I should also say, I include a subgenre of the stories is there's also additions to the Book of Daniel and additions to the Book of Esther, which going into this, I was very like, whoa, that seems not kosher, not cool, man. You can't just add stuff to these books. But they're both really interesting as far as my enjoyment level and intrigue in reading the Apocrypha. Reading those additions was highly rewarding for me personally. But I'm not going to get into that today. You're going to have to buy the book and see what I have to say for yourself. So why should we even bother reading these things? Why should we bother not just the Apocrypha, but reading any of these non-included books of the ancient Jewish world or the ancient Middle East world? Why read them at all? I've been told many times in Bible studies, and this is usually a conversation more when we talk about whether one should, as a Christian, read up on other religions. The metaphor is often brought up of, well, you know, people whose job it is to find counterfeit dollars, counterfeit money, they never study the counterfeit dollars. All they ever do is they, every day, they examine the real thing. And so then, whenever they see a counterfeit, they know instantaneously, oh, this doesn't match what I've studied. And that's how they stay, you know, in line. That metaphor always rubs me the wrong way. Because I do think we should study other religions. I think we should vet them. And particularly in the case of the Apocrypha, here you have a group of books. You know, in Maccabees, we get the history of Hanukkah. So Jesus would have known and partaken in, I don't think Hanukkah was as big of a tradition at that time period as it is in modern day. But he still would have known about it and he would have celebrated it. as far as I understand. So why would I not want to know the stories that Jesus, walking on this earth, would know about? It's just like if Jesus came to us in modern day and Jesus went to the movies on Friday, last Friday, and he saw, I don't know, Jurassic Park. Now, whether or not I care about dinosaurs, because I want to know Jesus and I want to love him and I want to know how his mind works and I want to know everything about him, I would go see Jurassic Park, if nothing else, so that I can have a conversation with Jesus afterwards, be like, whoa, Jesus, Jurassic Park, pretty cool, huh? In the same manner, Jesus had these stories in his head. He would have known all the stories of the Apocrypha. Now, it's interesting to note that we don't have any quotes of Jesus talking about Tobit, for instance. So it's interesting to know, like, okay, Jesus surely would have known this story of Tobit, but he chose, for all we know, to not talk about it or not quote Tobit. So I just want to know, okay, what's Tobit about? And now I feel a little, if nothing else, I feel a little closer to the mind of Christ as he walked on this earth in his earthly ministry. Because I think expressions of love, one of the ways we express love in our human shells is to know details about the people we love. So I want to know details about Jesus. And that includes reading the stuff that he read and knowing the stories that he would have known. Along with that, as I've already mentioned, Maccabees pretty much is a history book. And it includes the story of Antiochus IV coming into the Holy of Holies, desecrating it, putting up Jupiter, where the Ark of the Covenant should have been, a statue to Jupiter. This is a prophecy that Daniel talks about. So we have the fulfillment of Scripture in Maccabees, in this history. Why wouldn't we want to know that? Like, that's important stuff to Jewish history. And certainly, since a lot of the events of the Maccabean Revolt, that's far fresher history to the Jewish mind of Jesus' day than, say, Exodus. It's got to feel, I imagine that the story of the Maccabees, the Maccabean Revolt, felt to them like maybe World War II does to me. Like, I didn't obviously live during World War II, but I can still see the history of World War II impacting my present day. The Jews of Jesus' day would have felt that. They would have seen, you know, the direct descendants and the direct consequences of that revolt playing out in their political sphere. Whereas maybe like Exodus or older stories, to me, is more like the Civil War, where, you know, you still know that it created huge changes, but it still feels quite distant. The people that fought the Civil War don't feel like grandma and grandpa, whereas World War II, like, you can relate to that generation more easily. Yeah, so this book, when I wrote it in a Word document, it's like 130 pages, so pretty darn short. When it kind of spools out into e-form, I think Amazon has it listed as like 280 pages, something like that. But it's a quick read. Costs $3.99 from Barnes & Noble or iBooks or Amazon or Smashwords.com. If you want a paperback version, that's going to cost you $12.95. It's officially being released as an ebook on September 1st. But you can pre-order it now. And so here's the fun thing about Fun with the Apocrypha. I hope, Lord willing, I will be able to write, you know, a sort of sequel to that and start examining other books that didn't make it into any of the canon and write a sequel that hopefully I'll be able to write a Fun with Old Testament Rejects and look at the Book of Enoch and the Testament of Solomon and some of these other more obscure works. And really get into the nuts and bolts, especially Enoch. Enoch is super interesting because A, it tells a crazy story about angels. B, it's quoted by Jude in the book of Jude. So that's really fascinating and gripping. And then additionally, this is the really fun part for me. So as I started writing this manuscript, I was looking for someone to help me edit it. And one of my coworkers is a super cool guy and friend of mine. Co-workers in Russia, a guy named Mason, and Mason ended up being my editor for this book, and together we're kind of forming a new self-publishing company. We call it Stockade Amusement. So every month for the next 9 months, we are going to be releasing a book under Stockade Amusement. And by the way, my website now, I've changed it from DanteStack.com to StockadeAmusement.com. So if you type in DanteStack.com, it'll redirect you to Stockade Amusement. All of our show notes and all the stuff for 365 is still there. It's just now at Stockade Amusement's website. But anyway, we're publishing all these books. So September 1st is Fun with the Apocrypha. October 1st is going to be part one of Solve the World, my big podcast story I'm turning into four novels, the first of which comes out soon. Then Mason is a former Mormon, so he's finishing up a novel that's a really cool, I don't even want to talk about it, but it's a really cool look and thought exercise. It's a novel about stuff that goes on in Mormon culture. That's a novel coming out November 1st called Sisters of Zion. Then, in the new year, I think it's February, Mason will release Fun with the Book of Mormon. Now, Mason was a hardcore Mormon. He was a missionary. He was super into the details, the theology of Mormonism. So he is the perfect guy to write this book, where he walks us through the Book of Mormon. For those of us who've never made it through, I've tried to read it like three times and have never made it all the way through. So Mason will do the heavy lifting for us, explain the stories to us without us having to read it ourselves, and he'll do it in a fun, punctual, pop culture-y way. So look forward for all these things. You can find them all or read more about them at StockadeAmusement.com. We'll also have a Facebook page for Stockade Amusement, as well as Instagram, Twitter, all those things. Getting all that gearing into shape right about now. And yeah, go get fun with the Apocrypha and start the journey. This is Dante Stack signing out. Peace be the journey.